Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. When you think of visiting a national park, you don't expect to hear something like this.
You can imagine the injuries, the hazards of working in a place like this.
Peter Osella is the assistant superintendent of Lowell National Historic Park. We met with him and Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas at the Boot Cotton Mills Museum. It's the centerpiece of the park, which features a replica of a turn-of-the-century mill weave room with 88 working power looms.
What you don't have here is cotton dust floating around. You know, OSHA doesn't have a sense of humor about that, so there's only so much authenticity in this process here. There are many, many industrial hazards. Occasionally, some of these shuttles moving back and forth at high speed would get dislodged and come out and hit someone. Women's hair could get caught in the belts.
It's a bittersweet history,
oh,
right?
Yes,
it developed Lowell, certainly, but it was not a pretty history.
When
all
visitors
the time.
Come to our visitor center, we're telling them the real story. And that's what national parks do. We don't sugarcoat it.
The 141,000-acre Lowell National Historic Park includes some 800,000 square feet of converted former mill space along the Merrimack River. It's one of 16 national parks in Massachusetts, and despite its $8 million a year budget, advocates say it and all 400 of the nation's parks need more money. It's something Congresswoman Tsongas is passionate about.
I remember my first trip to a national park. This is in 1960, and we were making the classic family road trip, and we stopped in Yellowstone and stayed in a little cabin. And I can remember waking up on a frosty morning and looking out and seeing a wolf sort of standing in the trees, and I've never forgotten it. And that's the kind of experience you want young people in particular to have, because there's nothing like how that stirs your soul.
Tsongas says the park also stirred economic development in downtown Lowell. When the Lowell Park was created in 1978, the mill industry was dying. And both Tsongas and Peter Osella say that the idea of an urban park was unusual at that time.
The focus of the Park Service had been natural areas, battlefields, monuments, and not industrial history. And in fact, the Carter administration testified against creation of this park and said, we don't do industrial history. Well, of course, now they've got dozens of industrial history-oriented national parks, but this was the first. I mean, I think people are eager to feel authentic experiences, and that's what we offer them.
And protect that history, not only to experience that history, but protect that history, because absent this park, who knows what would have become of the historic infrastructure that was where the Industrial Revolution took place. It's important that we protect it for all Americans so that we better understand who we are and why we are the nation we have become.
I think here, the creation of the National Park, it provided some hope and a theme that historic preservation is going to be our way, our method.
Can we walk a little bit and see the water?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
The water's why Lowell exists.
It's just beautiful.
This is the Riverwalk, which is part of the city of Lowell. The city owns it. However, we, the National Park, sort of integrate right into it. The fact is, the city got the funding it got for this walkway because the National Park Service is here. We actually applied for the funding. Then we turned the money over to the city to enable them to build this great resource.
One of the things that goes unnoticed is that park funding in general has dropped significantly in the last 10 years. So it's down about 22%, and it's led to a lot of deferred maintenance.
Is there any consideration to raising fees or doing anything like that to try to make up for some of the money so you would have more financial resources to do some of that deferred maintenance?
Well, I think that's always on the table, but it's a tough balancing act because you don't want to raise the fees to the point where you shut out a lot of people from being able to participate. So the reality is these are America's parks. These are America's lands, and it should be part of our routine appropriations process that we as a country are going to invest in the things that are precious to us. It's captive of the bigger debate about what is the role of the federal government. And these are our national treasures, and as such, we should be investing in them.
There's a move in Washington, it's my understanding, to decide maybe states take over some of this instead of the federal government? Would that be maybe something that might be beneficial because the states actually see directly what's going on when they can see the parks?
If we make a decision that something is of national significance, then I think it falls to the federal government to maintain and protect those sites. Federal lands have a multi-purpose role. They're not about mineral extraction or economic development. They have to be thought of in terms of preservation issues, how you protect wildlife habitat. A whole host of things have to be balanced. There may be instances in which there are some discrete pieces that might logically go back to a state, but as a whole, I think it's probably going down a pretty risky path.
I think if you were talking to the state officials, Department of Conservation and Recreation, they would tell you they are extremely stressed to manage what they have. So the idea of taking on more might be something that even they might be very concerned about.
So. And there's no guarantee that these lands, once they revert to the state, will be preserved and protected as they are under federal management. So what you do is you put at risk the history of this country.
So have you been meeting with your colleagues to talk about this?
Absolutely.
So what's happening?
We have ongoing debates about just the nature of what kind of funding should take place in our national parks. But I share a committee with many members from states that do not similarly embrace the role of the federal government, whether it's through the Park Service or the management of other lands.
Attendance is down.
The Park Service is fighting everybody's connection to screens and high-tech stuff and trying to get people outdoors. And there is a big social media push. They're using the 100th anniversary to do a public service campaign.
Peter mentioned there are a lot of folks attached to their screens, and that may be a reason for declining visitors to parks. Why do you think that there's been a decline in the number of people coming?
Well, it's hard to tell, but I certainly think it's something that the National Park Service has to think about, really think about hard, because, as I said, those who come to them, I think, are moved by them, take away something they won't realize unless they visit. They have to visit to get it. We've got to think about new ways to reach people and attract them. So whether it's creating different experiences once you're there, that might be part of it, but I think it requires some innovation.
There was some recent articles and columns about our national parks being very white, very frequented primarily by white people. And is there any sort of effort to change that? And what do you do to change that?
There's a working group out there that is thinking about it. I think part of it is bringing more diversity to the Park Service itself. That is an issue, and it's something that the Park Service is starting to address but needs to be more aggressive with it. Like anything, if you see people that look familiar to you, you're more likely to participate and want to be a part of it.
Your thoughts about that, Peter?
Yeah, it's been a big part of the recruitment process for Park Service. When we get resumes, they don't indicate race or, you know, whatever. But there is this desire to make the Park Service ranks reflect the communities they're in all the more. Very often, say, the Hispanic community might not have had that childhood experience that you had. So you don't have people coming up who might have shared that same experience and would want to reconnect with that. And so how do you introduce that? So I know there are folks within the Park Service nationally dealing with that. I'm not up on exactly where that stands right now, but it is a very major goal of John Jarvis, the director of the Park Service.
So next year is the centennial of
yes.
National Park Service centennial, right? So what's happening here to gear up for that and to get people? I know there's a Find Your Park campaign that First Lady Michelle
campaign,
Obama.
But first, we've invited the Secretary of Interior, Secretary Jewell, to come to Lowell. She's coming on September 12th. I invited her to attend our River Day, which is something we do throughout the district, to sort of highlight the very important role our rivers play, both as a natural resource, as a source of power, and very deeply rooted in the economics, the historic economics of the district. We're looking forward to that, and that'll be the beginning of a celebration of the 100th anniversary.
It sounds like there's almost like a year-long celebration leading up to the centennial.
Yeah. I mean, even though it's our 99th year, we've been talking in the Park Service about the centennial, it seems like forever. So there's a real effort to ramp that up, and so you'll see it extend over this year, as well as the 100th anniversary starting next August 25th.
It'll be a two-year celebration.
That's right.
Of a 100-year event.
All right, well, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, yeah.
Representative Nikki Tsongas is a ranking member of the Natural Resources Committee on Federal Lands, which oversees national parks, and Peter Osella is Assistant Superintendent of Lowell National Historic Park. The Boot Cotton Mills Museum will be free on Tuesday, August 25th, in celebration of the 99th anniversary of the National Park Service. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.